This summer's must-read mystery is Meredith Adamo's Not Like Other Girls. A girl's search for her missing classmate digs up dangerous secrets in this unputdownable feminist thriller, perfect for fans of Veronica Mars and A Good Girl's Guide to Murder.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The Ruckus Joint Committee on Housing is going to advise and recommend in a report due out tomorrow that an introduction of a vacant homes tax should be considered in order to tackle the housing shortages we're facing. Now, there's been one estimate that we have 137,000 vacant homes in the state. If that were true, what should we do to bring those on stream? Well, we're joined now by Fiona Duncan, who's a policy manager at Clwyd Housing. Fiona, good morning.
Hi, Pat. Thanks very much for having me on.
Now, first of all, you better tell us, remind us really what Clwyd does.
Yeah, so Clwyd is an approved housing body, so an AHB for in short. So we're a social housing provider. And so we provide social housing and, you know, recently cost rental housing to over 24,000 people across Ireland. We have over 9,000 homes. So we provide, you know, long-term, affordable, secure housing for families and individuals right across Ireland.
And how do you do that? Where do you get your money from?
So a lot of our funding comes from the local authorities, and then some the remainder of the funding, I suppose, comes through external funding sources, including via the Housing Finance Agency and private finance. So we work very closely with the local authorities and with the Department of Housing to deliver housing across the state. But you know, we're looking to do more of it, and we know we're very conscious that we're still in the midst of a housing crisis in Ireland. So you know, we're looking forward to continuing the work that we do.
Yeah. Are you not-for-profit?
We are indeed, yeah. So we're not-for-profit, we're a charity. We provide, you know, very affordable housing, as I mentioned. So for our social housing units, for example, people pay rents according to their income. So as their income increases, their rent increases. But then equally when their income decreases, when or if their rent decreases. So it's a very kind of very secure option for people. And, you know, we view it as very important in terms of the overall stabilisation of the housing market in general. You know, it's not just providing a benefit to those people that are fortunate enough to live in those homes.
So you have over 24,000 people housed, 9,000 units. Is that right?
That's it. Yeah, 9,000 units across the country, and we're delivering more and more every year. So at the moment, we have a current delivery pipeline of over 6,000 homes across 300 projects throughout Ireland. And so we'll be delivering that across the next 5 years. And, you know, we're committed to contributing to
the target just under housing for us. I just wanted to do the sums on this. 3,000 over 5 years is therefore 600 a year.
So 6,000 homes over the next 5 years.
6,000. Yeah. Okay, so that it'd be 1,200 houses a year.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. People would say a drop in the ocean, but you think you can do more?
We do. We do. And we're the largest AHB approved housing body in Ireland at the moment. And, we work alongside other AHBs in Ireland. We're a member of the Housing Alliance, so that comprises six of the largest AHBs. So we deliver, approximately 40% of the overall social housing stock in Ireland, and we have done for the last number of years. So, you know, we work closely with the local authorities, as I said, to deliver the social housing, but we're not blind to the fact that we're in the midst of a housing crisis. And I do think this report that's being published tomorrow will contribute to how we get through this. And I think, you know, tackling vacancy and dereliction will be a big part of this.
I'm just wondering, if you can do it, why can't the local authorities do it themselves? Why do they need a third party, if you like?
Yeah, so the local authorities still provide social housing. I suppose...
Like, what's your secret? What's your trick that other people don't have?
Sure. So we have a single remit to provide housing. The local authorities, they provide housing, but they also obviously carry out a number of other functions too. So, you know, we have that kind of single focus, which I suppose allows us to do quite a lot. We're very big on kind of creating sustainable communities, encouraging vibrant communities, allowing people to mix in mixed tenure schemes across the country. So we have that single focus, and as I said, we're a national organisation, which does set us apart as well. So we have that broad overview of the, I suppose, the the needs of the country in general. We're not just locally focused.
Okay, so you're in favour of this proposal to tax vacant properties.
We are. I think it's just one tool in, I suppose, in the arsenal, I suppose, that we have at our disposal in terms of tackling the housing crisis. It's not going to be, you know, a panacea. I think everyone accepts that. But as you said, you know, we do have over 100 and...
Well, that's what Mel Reynolds says.
That's what Mel Reynolds says.
Because I was going to ask you about what you think of Dublin City Council. They identify 213 potentially vacant homes, of which, when they investigated, 49 were being confirmed as being vacant, with only 16 being confirmed as vacant long term. So I'm just wondering whether the fact that something appears vacant, and therefore it all adds up to 137,000 vacant homes, whether that figure is real.
Yeah, well, I think that's why this report is so important. We need to interrogate those figures, and we need to distinguish, you know, the facts, I suppose, and there has been quite a lot of debate on this over the last number of years. So I think this is why, you know, there's recommendations for a new division in the Department of Housing, for a single national platform, you know, for you know, to host data in relation to derelict and vacant housing in the report. And I think, you know, we would welcome that we need to, I suppose, sit down and you know, see the wood from the trees in terms of what's out there that
because,
is
because the revenue were reported as not being interested in this particular extra tax because they weren't convinced there was much income out there. The question of I think vacant sites versus dereliction is an interesting one because sites can be vacant and well maintained by people. On the other hand, people who allow properties to go into dereliction, often because if you want to build something, you may not get permission from a local authority to knock something down. But if you allow it to go into dereliction, then bingo.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. But I think we also need to look at the incentives that people have at their disposal in terms of, you know, tackling, you know, bringing a derelict house back into use. And so there's a repair and leasing scheme. So that's the current initiative from government, and the current limit of 60,000. I know there's a recommendation in the report to increase that funding because there has been really poor take up of the repair and leasing scheme across the country. So we need to look at why this is, you know, why people aren't looking to bring these properties into use, which could be obviously for the benefit of themselves and more importantly for the benefit of people who are in desperate need of housing. And it's just the remark with regard to revenue, I suppose one point that I've seen, you know, made is that you know, when people are reporting, there's no real incentive, I suppose, to report your own vacant home, if so to speak. So I think we need to look at, you know, how we can more accurately.
But you'd imagine, Fiona, that the revenue know about the properties in probate and they know about properties in fair deal. So maybe they've quite a good handle on things that are just tied up in the system at the moment and would need to be released by the arms of the state very quickly in order to facilitate this process.
Sure, yeah. And I think there has been a move to look at those vacant homes under the, you know, within the fair deal scheme and, you know, to encourage people to actually rent out those properties, which is really a positive move. You know, home lying idle is absolutely no use to anyone, neither the person who owns it or the people that desperately need it.
So, and what would you say to the people who say, you know, property that is owned, it's been paid for, if it's not inherited, paid for by, you know, people who've paid their taxes and so on. So it's already, if you like, a heavily taxed asset. And in any event, there might be domestic rates if it's a shop and or commercial rates rather, and there would certainly be property tax on all properties throughout the state, so already they are being taxed.
Yeah, well, I suppose the purpose of a vacant properties tax isn't to raise revenue, it's really to encourage, you know, use of these properties.
So it's punishment of the property owner.
It's not a punishment. I think we need to look at the carrot and stick approaches, and we need to look at incentivization, and we need to look at, you know, discouragement of vacancy and dereliction. So it's about, you know, using those measures appropriately and ensuring that, you know, it's not about raising revenue. You know, it's really about, you know, bringing them back into use.
What would you say, though, to, you know, the revenue start taxing someone because they're not using a property, but they might be of a certain age and stage in life where they either don't have the resources or the energy to do all this, but they want to hand on the property to their offspring? What would you say, you know, there are many cases. Some would be simply indifference and fecklessness, leaving a property go derelict and idle. Others might have, you know, real reasons for their inactivity in this regard.
Mm. Well, I think the reference to the appointment of full-time vacant homes officers in this report that's going to be published tomorrow, that might, you know, provide assistance, as you say, to people that maybe don't have the, I suppose, the resources and skills to look at doing this, because, you know, it can be a mammoth task for people. And where people want to hand back property to a family member, absolutely, but there are, you know, there are ways that we can do this by, you know, perhaps leasing it to an AHB or leasing it to a local authority for, you know, a certain number of years, and then passing it back then to the homeowner for use as they wish. And, you know, in Clwyd Housing, we actually don't allow our current tenants to purchase their own home. So we pass those properties on, you know, through to, you know, to people on the social housing waiting list. So I suppose that's our approach. But we absolutely understand that people will want to pass homes back to family members. So I think, you know, that could be an option to allow for leasing, you know, on a short-term basis to the local authorities.
All right. Well, we look forward to the formal publication of that report tomorrow. Fiona Duncan, Policy Manager at Clwyd Housing, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
This summer's must-read mystery is Meredith Adamo's Not Like Other Girls. A girl's search for her missing classmate digs up dangerous secrets in this unputdownable feminist thriller, perfect for fans of Veronica Mars and A Good Girl's Guide to Murder.